Acts chapter 9, verse 1 through 16. Meanwhile, Saul was breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if they found any there who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them prisoners to Jerusalem. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" "Who are you, Lord?" Saul asked. "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting," he replied. "Now get up and go to the city, and you will be told what you must do." The men traveling with Saul stood there speechless. They heard the sound, but did not see anyone. Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand into Damascus. For 3 days he was blind and did not eat or drink anything. In Damascus there was a disciple named Ananias. The Lord called to him in a vision, "Ananias?" "Yes, Lord," he answered. The Lord told him, "Go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying." Then Ananias went to the house and entered it. Placing his hands on Saul, he said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me to you so that you might see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit." Immediately, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes, and he could see again. He got up and was baptized. But the Lord said to Ananias, "Go." Well, I must have got that one out of order. Unless I pushed the wrong. Okay, I guess it was 18. I said it ended at 18. And then I hit the wrong button, so let me get back on track. So Saul is on the road to Damascus. He's on his way with letters, with the opportunity, with the legal right to arrest anybody who professed to be a Christian. Now, I had some questions with this as I began to think. Now, this was the Jewish religion. This was a Pharisee. This was somebody who dealt with the Sanhedrin. And so why would he carry orders to the courts, to the temples in all of the areas in Damascus? Why would he carry orders that anyone, it didn't say Jews, anyone that they caught professing the name of Jesus Christ could be arrested and taken back to Jerusalem? Now, thinking back in our history, way, way, way back, most every war, every battle, every conflict that we can think of is somehow rooted in our religious beliefs. And in this day, the dominant religion was the Jewish nation. They held captive all of the areas around. They looked down on them. They were the peons. They were the people that no one else cared about. The Jewish nation was the ruler. And so they just took it for granted. And in the legal system of that day, when the Jewish or Pharisee had papers, "I can arrest anyone who professes the name of Jesus." It doesn't matter if you were Samaritan or whether you were from the uttermost parts of the world, if they caught you professing the name of Jesus, this man here that's depicted in this picture had the legal right to arrest you and take you back to Jerusalem and stand you before the Sanhedrin. Doesn't sound quite fair, does it? On this road, something amazing happened. Saul saw this brilliant, bright light. This brilliant, bright light. Now, I don't know what that looks like. I mean, the people that were around him heard something, but they didn't see anybody. But Saul was driven to the ground by a bright light. Now, most of you know I was diagnosed with AFib and struggling with that and trying to figure all that out. And yesterday, combined with my medicine, which I found out I should not do, I took a super hot bath and just laid in the bathtub. And one of those things that I love to do to relax me is to put my head under the water and listen to my heartbeat. And so I'm laying in this super hot bath. And all of a sudden, Gary, there was this light that was so light it was black. in front of me, this great big huge black dot, and I could just see a halo of light shining out around it, and I got so super nauseous that it was like incredible. I could not believe it. So as soon as I could, I got out of the bath and got cooled down, got in front of a fan, and so that bright light went away and the nausea went away. But I could just imagine not expecting that, and I kind of had an idea, what is this? And this guy saw this super bright light so powerful that it knocked him right to the ground. Knocked him to the ground, not just laid out flat. His eyes were closed. He was in such a state that his eyes immediately went closed. How do I know that? It wasn't until after he heard the voice and he began to get up that he opened his eyes and realized that he was blind. So here's this man. I began to think about that. When's the last time? Pastor Joe and I had conversation about this text, and some of you are sending me some input on those sermons to come, and I absolutely appreciate that. But think about the last time that you experienced God in such a powerful way that it almost put you down. I'm not talking in a negative way. When is the last time that God's presence was so full and so complete that you stood in awe of him? You stood in the presence of his majesty and in the presence of his kingship. Speechless. Just to take in as much. As Pastor Joe and I talked, what would it be like? What would it be like if God became so overwhelming in your life that you became so humbled in his presence that you had to take a knee? Oh, we can only dream of those moments. We looked at this most times as a negative. But the blindness, the bright light that came to Saul was actually a revelation of Jesus Christ that was life transforming. It was there to change his life. We know that as human beings, we do not have the power within ourselves. Thank you for some of those quotes this week. We don't have the power within ourselves to experience the fullness of God without the presence of God introducing himself to us and infilling us by his Holy Spirit. We don't have that capability. I mean, every program out there, secular or not, think of the AA, When you go, you have to recognize that there's a power higher than you, because you as a human being can't get to the level that you want to be. We all want to be there. We all want to be in the perfect presence of God. We all want to be in the perfect place of God. We all want to be there. And many times we work really super hard to get there. But there is no way under our own strength, under our own power, that we can get there. It is only the gospel. It is only the light of Christ that is able to usher us into that place of understanding. Think about when somebody comes to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. They may have known Scripture, they may have gone to church their whole life, but they hear the gospel, they hear the Word of God come to them. They go like, "Ah, now I get it. The light just came on. The blinders have been removed. I get it. Jesus is here." I love this picture of this guy. Let's call him Ananias. And if you Google search him, Ananias in Damascus, this guy will come up in one of the image things. And so now you know my resource to get a lot of the pictures that I use. But this guy's kind of bald, and he's got the beard going on, and kind of like that picture. You know, we focus so often about Saul. We're focused on Saul and him going and being obedient to the call of God, to the vision that God had placed in his life and in his heart that he knew he needed to go. But I began processing Ananias this week. And Ananias really became a hero of mine pretty quick as I began to really try and comprehend the courage and the fortitude and the determination that this man had to have had in his faith. He was really a pretty awesome man. Now picture this. You're praying one day, and God says, I want you to go do something. There's this man. He's from Tarsus. His name is Saul. He's blind. And you're going to go and you're going to lay hands on him and you're going to pray for him. I can just imagine him going, nope. I'm not going to do it. Do you know what danger I put myself in when I do that? Do you know what kind of ridicule and persecution that I put myself in when I would do that? Think about it this way. God's calling you to love the heroin addict or the opioid addict that's sitting on the front steps of your work when you get there. I heard this story from one of us last week. I walked out of the gym and there was somebody sitting there that had just shot up. His needles, everything were laying right there. And God just laid it on my heart. I need to go and pray for this man. Now, I live in a fairly good area, and I still, when I do garden work, I watch for needles. I watch for all that kind of stuff. I can't imagine some of you that live even closer into the center of some of that. You know, that's a fearful thing. I wasn't driving. Pastor Joe took me for a walk last night. Since we don't have a puppy, she walks me. And we walked down through, Greenwood Avenue, down past our house and up into the Shoreline Community College campus and walked all around there and got to see some things. And as we were heading back out to the road that drops down from the college down to near our road, there was garbage all over. And Pastor Jen, I actually had this thought pass through my mind. We should get the youth. And we should come over here and just put on our Fairview shirts and clean this mess up. But you know what went through my mind? I don't know what's in that garbage. There could be dangerous things that we're exposing our youth to. And I don't want to be the one that suggests, hey, take our kids over there, and then somebody gets stuck and ends up with something. You know, there's a fear of going and ministering and being a part of this world where there's all these contaminants. What about this? God opens the door for you to go and to minister, kind of like Ananias, to somebody who's struggling with their sexual identity. And they look at things completely different than you do. What do you do with that? Do you back up and go, not me? Do you know what my peers would say? If I put my arm around a gay man and I prayed with him that the Spirit of God would release him and help him find the fulfillment in life that each and every one of us is looking for, that each and every one of us needs at different levels and different places, do you know what that would mean to my peers if they even found out I did that? Heaven forbid. Heaven forbid. What about lying for a boss or doing whatever? I got to do it or I'll be persecuted. This guy became my hero. Why? Because he walked right into that house on Straight Street. He walked right up to Saul, and this is what he said. Brother Saul? That's a murder sentence, right? That's a death sentence right there. In that culture, because God was creating this brotherhood, this family called the Church of God. And I don't just use that name because that's what's on our door. This was the Church of God. This was the beginning of God's New Testament church. And when they got right with God, they considered themselves closer than blood. My brothers, my sisters in Christ, adopted into the eternal family, the church, the kingdom of heaven. When I thought about that, I thought, this man walked up and just said, Brother Saul. Saul didn't even have to say, hey, I got papers. Let me ask you, are you a Christian? Are you going to deny? I don't have to follow you. I don't have to stalk you. I don't have to put my people who tailing people on you. He walked right up to me and said, Brother Saul. But what he did was he talked about the commonality of vision. I find it amazing that God said to both of them, I have given this other person a vision that lines up with yours. He said to Saul, There's going to be a man come. His name's Ananias. He's going to pray for you. He's, in a sense, going to do that. He's going to get really close to you, and he's a Christian. He's going to get right up in your business, and he's going to pray for you. He's a Christian. God, in a vision, Jesus said to Ananias, it's Saul of Tarsus, the one who is breathing out murderous threats. The one who has the power to arrest you, take you back to Jerusalem, and stand you in the court before the Sanhedrin. I love it when visions come together. I love that. I believe that Fairview is in a place of transition right now, where he is giving each and every one of us vision as to what we need to be and what we need to do and how we need to reach out. I believe it. The amazing thing is, he has called us to worship and to serve here. And so I do not believe for one second that our vision is going to clash as God continues to place in our hearts those things that we need to be, those things that we need to do. We will find beyond the fear, because we all fear change and the unknown and what's this going to be like. Beyond that fear, I believe that God will allow us to support a man from Tennessee who just left Thailand, whose mother was just murdered in a parking lot last week. You've never met him. You've probably never even seen a picture of him. I believe that God will give us the spirit of love that we can love on this family even though we've never met them. Well, I guess I've seen them on Skype, but that's the kind of God that we serve. When we step out of our comfort zone into those fearful places, into those places that need ministry, and we do things that actually put our lives at danger. It's only then that we're dependent and we understand that the Spirit of God is that power, that authority that dwells in us that allows us to do what we could have never done before. Now, Saul said, he got up and I want to be baptized. This is an interesting story to me. Very interesting. Because in this story, it never tells us how Saul repented. Think about that. You know, we have this format. We say, if you're going to come to Jesus, you come down and you're broken and you're crying and you ask the pastor to lead you through this 3-point prayer of how you can accept Jesus into your life. And then you walk away sorrowful and you've got tears in your eyes and you get up the next week and you talk about how broken you were and how miserable your life was. And maybe that's the case for some of us. But maybe repentance in your life or in the life of some of these around us, maybe it's just actually the true definition of repentance. And that is to turn from one way and walk another. You know, we put so much stock in emotion. We put so much stock in how we used to do it or how we think we ought to do it that we forget that God is a worker of hearts, in hearts. And the format that you accepted him and came to him by may not be the same. Think about it this way. There was a case where the disciples were walking with Jesus and they looked over across the way and they saw this group of men that were teaching Jesus. They were not teaching him. They were teaching about him. And the disciples went, hey, Jesus, go over and rebuke them because they're over there teaching about you and they're not with us. They're not over here. And Jesus looked at them and said, hey, you know, they're proclaiming the gospel. And if they're not against me, they're for me. God gives us the power to go. Saul had a brand new perspective in life. Saul received the gospel of Jesus Christ. He knew the prophecy. He knew the Old Testament. He knew every scripture that they were talking about when they recited and talked about the coming of a Messiah. He knew every one of those texts inside and out, but he didn't know Jesus. We can go to church our entire life. We can have this phrase, I was born in the church and have never left and not know Jesus. We can know about him, we can know scripture, but we have never come to that place where we have been absolutely humbled in his presence and he has overwhelmed us and filled us with his spirit and taken us to a place that we cannot get on ourselves, a place that will bring satisfaction and joy and happiness. I encourage you, read in the bulletin this week, the little article that I put. Because it's only the power of God that will help us to get where we want to be, whether we're rich or poor, whether we're male or female, no matter where we are, whether we think we've got no sin in our life or whether we know we got tons. It is only Jesus. It is only Jesus. Saul experienced this. And as he got up, his message was, hey, I'm a believer now. Hey, my life is different. This one that came to me on the road, this one that said it's hard to kick against those bricks that coming in your heart. It's hard to fight against that conviction. It's hard to reject that. Paul got up with this message. We're going to talk next week about his public proclamation and the beginning of his preaching. But I want you to know that he and we, through the power, through the anointing, through the presence of God, his Holy Spirit, through the blessing of Christ in our life, we have the power to make the declaration, whether we're prayer walking or whether we're working or whether we're driving in our car, God can through you make the direct declaration. And we can say, hey, I'm a believer now. Would you say that today?